Hey everyone, welcome back. I had a quick idea for a video, so I thought I might as well do it while it's at the top of my head. And as you can tell from the title, what the topic is, it's basically my kind of top tips advice on walking show jumping courses and what's really important about it. And so this is something that I teach a lot at Pony Club because it's something that I feel like a lot of the younger kids don't know before they're taught it. It's something that's kind of overlooked and advice isn't really given because you're taught how to jump and all those fancy things, but you're not actually taught, other than walking and remembering your numbers, you're not taught a lot else. There are some people that I still teach this to the first time and they don't know how to count. They don't know how to count doubles out, and they don't know how many steps their horse's strides are, and little things like that that are such a big thing when I'm jumping a course. And obviously, I mostly think anything below 80 is kind of where it still matters, but it really doesn't matter as much. Below 80, you can make mistakes and stuff. The horse usually figures it out. If you are a 1.30 meter jumper, that height might be a little bit different. You might be able to go into a, you might think it's a little bit more around the meter, but knowing from experience that most younger riders can make all these mistakes all the way up to 80, but when you hit 80, the mistakes start really affecting your rounds. At about 60, you can make the mistakes. The horses can usually figure it out. It's not that noticeable, and it's not, the jumps aren't high enough for it to be as dangerous. If you make certain mistakes in the ring at 80, it gets more dangerous. Anyway, that's a little bit off topic. Basically, a lot of the kids that I teach this to the first time have no idea about half of it, really haven't been taught how to walk these things out, or the things they need to know when they're actually looking at a course, other than just the numbers so they don't forget. Because that's obviously a really important part. You don't really want to forget a course, which still happens a lot. Or you miss the flags. That's also something I will cover. So anyway, let's get into it. We're going to cover super, super basic stuff at the start, super quickly, so it's not boring if you know it. So, number one, everyone learns courses differently. So you might learn a course better by writing it on your hand, or the jump off, what I'm talking about. But basically, everyone learns them differently. So things like jump offs and stuff, people find it easier to write it on their hand or just to repeat it in their head. The same with the course. Some people find it easier to walk it multiple times. Some people find it easier to sit and visualize it. I personally sit there and visualize it. If people talk to me, I tell them to be quiet because I need like 5 minutes to kind of really focus on it, because my memory ain't that great, so I'm pretty bad at that. So I do that. I do that with the jump off too. Where was I going with that? The next thing I basically do when trying to remember courses is remember where the flags are, which comes mostly into like jump offs and stuff when they're sometimes at weird places. It's not that you remember them, you just make sure. So we have a person here in New Zealand, down where I compete, who makes some of the courses, who has a habit of putting the flags in a weird place, so they're not actually straight after the jump or on the jump. You actually have to turn, and I've missed them some of the time, and that really sucks when you do a really beautiful round, well, you know, fast, nice round, and you miss the flags because they're in a weird position, and then you're going to blame the flags because, you know, it's annoying. So take notice of the flags, take notice of the numbers. The next thing, not the next thing, you can do this really in any order, but my next top tip is do make sure you walk it. The reason you walk it is mainly so, the only not person, because your horse isn't a person, but you are not seeing the course for the first time. You've walked it, you've seen the same lines. The horse is the only one of your partnership seeing this course from this angle for the first time. It also means you can look out for any holes. It means you can look out for your corners and walk your stride. So your horse's strides might be a little bit different from other horses. So even if it's like, maybe it's a show hunter course and it says, oh, this is a two stride, or your friend says, oh yeah, it's a two stride or it's a three stride, if you walk it, you'll know that, oh, this is going to be a little bit long for my horse, so I'm going to make sure I push him out, or I'm going to collect him out for a four, or whatever it is, because we all have different sized horses and different paced horses. And it means you can prepare for that. I also think it's super important when you're walking, just to, I find visualizing a lot easier than any other way of remembering. Instead of just looking at a course board or whatever, visualizing is my easiest way. But taking note of everything, that types of jumps, say if you or the horse are more nervous for certain types of jumps, take that into consideration for the fact, like, oh, I had one horse who would be a lot better with fills if we did a tighter turn into it, because if it was a long straight line, she'd slow down. There was really no arguing with her. She'd slow down a little. She'd slow down, suck behind your leg, and either refuse to go over it or pack a little tantrum. She was a very weird one. And a lot of horses, most horses won't do that. But know your horse, which is the big thing that I'm going to focus on in this short little episode, is knowing your horse is the biggest thing. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's a horse you've never ridden, or it's a horse you haven't jumped a course on before. But if you do know your horse, everything from how you're going to approach fills, doubles, oxes, how you're going to do the corners. Maybe your horse is young, so it's got really bad cornering, so you have to do the corner more in a square or more towards the outside. You have to make it really large. Or like I used to do with my old horse, if I was coming into a fill, I would try to make the corner quite tight without obviously putting her or me in danger. Just make it quite tight so she didn't get a lot of time to see it, so she didn't have time to switch off. That was one of her big bad habits. And when you know your horse, you know it's striding, you know what it's going to be like going into all the jumps. It is really handy just to take notice of all of those things, because your friend can be like, I'm going to ride it like this, but you're most likely going to ride it quite differently, especially things like the jump off. It's why on one of my horses I much preferred ring one jump offs, which where I am is they higher ring, so the courses are more technical and heights are higher. But because the jump offs are more technical, which meant they were harder turns, so they were tighter and stuff, my horse did a lot better because she wasn't fast, but she turned really tight really well. So you have to think about whether you're going to be taking tight turns, whether you're going to be able to jump these certain jumps on an angle. I can turn my horse now. I can turn my horse and jump a jump at a weird angle and he's not going to question it. But not all horses are going to be like that. And that'd shave a lot of time off, like a jump off if you're being technical. But it's really important that you don't go and try those new things and a jump off if you're trying to be really competitive. Obviously you can. Obviously if it's a schooling one, you obviously can. But it's really handy to try those at home, so when you're in a competition thing, you know exactly what your horse is good and bad at. I'm trying to think if I've left any of my little things that I've learned over the years out. Don't think so. I've had many a learning experiences with courses, like missing flags, not double checking the rules and doing a jump off before the bell because I thought it was a two phase, lots of things like that. But obviously, I know a lot of my listeners are from the US, so your show jumping things are very different. So I'm not going to talk about rules or anything like that, because really that's only applicable if you're in New Zealand or you're in using the same rules as New Zealand show jumping, which I don't think the US does. Or if you're anywhere else that doesn't show jump the same as us, because we're a little bit different, I think. But everything else applies, and making sure you walk the course for your horse and not anybody else's horse. It's why I like walking the courses with the people I coach, and I teach all my kids that too, that it's so important to walk it for your horse, and you're going to be going so differently than other people because of your horse's speed and size and schooling, that you have to make sure you're not expecting it to do stuff that it wouldn't usually do. If you know it hates fills, you learn how to approach it the best way possible, whether that is tight turning or giving it a lot of room and a long canter up to it. So, biggest thing is knowing your horse. There's a little bit more thought that goes into walking a course than just walking it. Oh, I was going to say, with the walking strides, because that's what I teach a lot of the kids, and everybody's stride's different. So one of my large strides is about a meter, but usually to teach them, it'd be, you can put them against like a meter ruler and get them to practice all those sorts of things. But roughly, a big step is, did I say a meter? I think it's a meter, yeah. Is a meter, so like a horse is 4 steps, a pony is 3, but that is how they're going to space out like a show. So that's what I would suggest practicing with at home if you have a horse 4 strides, pony 3 strides. But your strides might not be exactly like that. They might be a little bit shorter, a little bit longer. But that's why you space it out, so you learn how to ride those certain strides. If you come across a double and stuff, you know whether it's going to be a long 2 or a short 3 or something like that. Next was, I was going to mention, when we walk it out, we usually do, people do it differently, so they can, the two ways that I've learned is you either do half the jump height as a takeoff and landing, because that creates a bascule, and I know I probably say that wrong, but don't hurt me, usually creates like a bascule, and they jump usually half the height of the jump and land half the height of the jump afterwards, if that makes sense. So if it was a meter jump, they would take off 50 centimeters out and land 50 centimeters out. So when you walk it, that's how much room you give it. But I also have been taught to do three extra for a landing and takeoff altogether, if that makes sense. So if it's a double, I'd add 3 extra steps altogether. Usually 1 for the landing and 2 for the takeoff. Don't quote me on that. That's something that I usually fix during, because not all horses are going to be like that. Totally depends on the heights. I'm talking like 70... probably average for most of the people I teach at Pony Club and stuff. It's usually around 70, so that's the easiest way to do it, and it's usually hacks. So ponies are different, so a lot of people say you do half a stride before and after. That's what I was told, that you do half a stride before and after, but I find doing 2 steps for a landing and 2 steps for a takeoff to be too much. And it ends up being long for most hacks. So that's why I shortened it to 3. Which is basically 1.5 for a landing and 1.5 for a takeoff. Which is probably an easy way to do it. but I just add three, if that makes sense. Anyway, I've got to go to Pony Club. Not teaching, we are doing a fun rally, and I would be riding, but my horse is out at the moment. But basically, we just do a fun challenge rally, so usually they have an option to ride bareback and stuff, and we do like scary jumps and different challenges with the games equipment and fun stuff like that. If it was hot, we could have even gone down to a swim, but I don't think it's that hot today. It's quite windy. So anyway, that's a little update. I wanted to do a riding one because that was my most popular podcast previously. I want to do some more young horse ones since that's what I'm mostly doing at the moment because my riding horse is out. But we shall see how this one goes and if it's super popular, or I hear from anyone saying that they want a certain topic, then I will definitely do that. Because really, I just struggle to come up with topics that people will really want to listen to. So if you have ideas, hit me up. Pretty sure I have voice messages on. So that'll be very welcome because then I won't have to think of one. But anyway, I hope everyone has a lovely day or afternoon or whatever time it is where you are, and I shall talk to you next time.